Follow traffic, clear visual approach, runway 4 right, maintain 17 down on the 5 mile final.
17 to 5 out.
Developing a healthy rapport with human resources toward the mutual goal of hiring and retaining a knowledgeable and professional business aviation workforce. From the National Business Aviation Association, this is Flight Plan, brought to you by Varion. I'm Rob Finfrock with your trusted source for the very latest business aviation news and information. Finding, attracting, and nurturing new talent to business aviation remains one of our industry's most vexing concerns. And today, we'll take a look at how aviation managers and flight department personnel can work with their company's human resources department to ensure everyone is on the same page when hiring and keeping employees. We'll begin with Anne-Marie Oxman, the Chief People Officer at NBAA. Anne-Marie, before we explore that relationship between the flight department and HR, you've worked in HR across several industries. What unique challenges does hiring in business aviation pose?
There are several challenges that I think are specific to business aviation when it comes to trying to hire business aviation professionals. You know, first of all, of course, there's a shortage of skilled workers in our industry. Competition for talent is very high. You know, not only do we have to compete against each other, but we're also the huge presence of the commercial airlines just makes it even more difficult for small and mid-sized organizations who really make up the majority of a business aviation to compete. Other challenges that are unique to our industry is the high cost to entry into business aviation. It can be expensive and time consuming to become a pilot or a maintenance technician. You know, and the other factor that I see that's happening more recently is this heightened awareness of climate change. You know, business aviation has really been singled out in social media and in the press with attack on private jet usage. So it can be challenging to get our message out there to young people, not only what business aviation is and why it can be a great career choice, but also just fighting the battle that the perception that our industry is about excess and luxury, which is, we know, is far from the truth.
I'd also like to welcome Jennifer Pickerel, Vice President at Aviation Personnel International.
I absolutely agree with so much of what Anne-Marie said. I will just add that one of the things that I think works against us and is specific to business aviation is the fact that we are a fairly understated industry. To put it more plainly, there's a little bit of cloak and dagger associated with business aviation. And so I think that it comes across as less accessible to the working population, particularly as we look at the pipeline for the future. So I know that I'm not alone in that many of us in the professional community volunteer our time by going to colleges, even high schools. And I can speak for myself that when I was hired at my first business aviation company, I had no idea this industry existed. And so even when you then go to, let's say, an aviation-specific college program, you still see a lot of mystified responses when you talk about the industry that you work in. So I think that that doesn't bode well, right, for attracting talent, especially when we're competing, like Anne-Marie said, with the behemoth of commercial aviation, which is present everywhere. I think another thing that sometimes works against us is a lack of transparency. You know, that can go hand in hand with the understated nature of our business, but especially when it comes to promotion, compensation, professional development, I don't think that business aviation has always done an exceptional job of making it clear where those paths and opportunities for development exist. As opposed to, let's take a pilot, for instance, who can go to commercial aviation and see on paper not only what their pay is going to be, but likely when they will be promoted from first officer to captain. You know, it's a little bit more nebulous in the business aviation industry.
My third guest is Michael Pecor, a 31-year industry professional and maintenance director for a Fortune 500 flight operation. Mike, I'd imagine much of what Jennifer and Anne-Marie just said applies to the maintenance side as well. What specific skills or traits do you look for in hiring aviation maintenance technicians?
The very first thing we do when we're first starting the process of hiring an aircraft maintenance technician is first we look at what type of aviation maintenance technician we're looking for. Are we looking for someone that has a little bit more senior experience in the aviation world? Or are we looking for someone that has a little bit less experience? Maybe that's someone that has not been in aviation, and for that matter, even maybe not even been in corporate aviation. And even from our senior technician side point of it too, those are some of the questions we ask ourselves too, in regards to, well, does this individual, does he have to have experience in corporate aviation? So those are some of the first questions we tee up with our partner resource center in regards to what we're going to be looking for. Once we get those items identified, now we start looking at what's the experience? What type of experience does this individual, specific experience does this individual actually have to have? Is it more of a general aviation type of experience? Or is it more of a heavy corporate aviation experience like the, you know, like the Gulfstreams or the Bombardier products? And then we get really specific, and then we start asking ourselves, well, do we want this individual to actually have the type of aircraft that we're flying, that type of experience? So those are the first things we start going through, and we start rolling through the filter. And then, of course, then once we start identifying that, then our partner resource center, and then with me being in the industry for so long, we also kind of take a little bit of a litmus test to see what's out there. We start talking to some of our neighbors. We start talking to some of our peer groups in this area, in the region that we're in, and the success rate in them finding technicians of the caliber that we may be looking for, or just in general, how's the hiring process going? And what we're seeing right now to date, as we just went through this hiring process, it's difficult finding people in our region. And it's difficult for many reasons. One, there's just not a lot of people to pick from. And two, we're in a region that's probably a little bit higher in toll and cost of living. So trying to recruit someone up in the area that we're at currently is, it's a bit of a trick because of the cost of living is so high. What we do then is we're having these conversations with our partner recruiting center, and you know, we start identifying and we start making these lists and we start making these categories, and then we start thinking about, are we going to be able to recruit this individual, this person that we're looking for? Are we going to be able to recruit them with the tools and techniques that we have here at this, at our organization? And those types of questions start to come up, and we start filtering those, and then we start looking at, well, you know what, we may need a little bit of an external assistance with that. We might need some external help in people that have the aviation experience in regards to hiring.
We'll have more of our conversation in just a moment after this word from our sponsor.
Take your aviation operations to new heights. Introducing Varion, formerly known as ATP, your ultimate partner in achieving maximum aircraft uptime. At Varion, we understand the challenges faced by everyone in aviation. Our industry-leading technology solutions revolutionize aircraft management, so there's no more waiting, no more wondering, and no more wasted effort. Get real-time visibility of your maintenance, inventory, operations, and regulatory data right at your fingertips with an easy-to-use system, backed by a team of experts with deep aviation knowledge offering 24/7, 365 support. After 50 years in the business, we have built a growing reputation for getting our customers more aircraft uptime. That's why thousands of aircraft operators worldwide have already discovered the power of Varion. Say goodbye to downtime and hello to increased efficiency and profitability. Visit Varion.com to learn more. Varion, let's get you more uptime.
We're back now with Anne-Marie Oxman, Jennifer Pickerel, and Mike Pecor, and our discussion about building a relationship between flight operations and human resources to maximize employee hiring and retention. And Mike, to that point, when you're looking to hire new personnel, what questions or issues do you review with your HR team?
What is the need of the business? What is the need of this individual, the maintenance technician coming in regards to need is, again, experience, location, where they're coming to. We start talking about what it's looking like from an overall perspective from just hiring in our area. And those are the types of decisions that are being made in regards to how are we going to advertise this? What type of salary? What type of benefits? There are so many different elements that we start working with exclusively with the recruiter. And then, of course, we're also working with our specific HR leader that is actually our representative that we are pointed and directed to in regards to all of our human resources needs. So there's actually two things happening there. We're working specifically with our leader, and we're working specifically with our recruiter that's been appointed to us for this job posting.
Anne-Marie, what factors should someone in Mike's position emphasize to their HR department to ensure they're looking for the best qualified candidates too?
One of the things that I think is important as you're hiring people and bringing them into your organization is emphasizing what's unique and different about your organization. And I'll go with Jennifer when she talked about the transparency. You know, the more that you can describe your organization, what it's like to work there, what people's experiences are in day in and day out, really can help say why you're unique and why this is different than maybe working for a competitor or a commercial airline. And so I always say it's really important that, you know, every interaction has to go along with the person that you're interviewing with and what's important to them and where their values are at. And do you have corporate values, for example, that align with their values? You know, many young professionals care very much about meaningfulness of their position and how they're going to contribute. And so I think being able to describe how your organizations give people the opportunity to really make a difference is things that you want to say or that make you different and unique beyond just having a competitive salary and benefit package.
Jennifer, what are your thoughts?
Well, my first piece of advice is always recognize them as a fantastic resource. And I know that may seem obvious, Rob, but you'd be surprised. Sometimes there's a real hesitation. And sometimes that's because of historical efforts, you know, or a lack of teamwork or a lack of the HR team understanding the nuances of business aviation. And that's a two-way street, right? It's just as Anne-Marie just mentioned, it's incumbent upon the hiring manager to educate the HR professional. So imagine this. I'm an HR professional. I manage the business unit of accounting, of engineering, and of administration. And now I've been given aviation. We just talked about how hard it is to truly understand our industry. So now I'm an HR professional partnered with the aviation department that I may not have even known existed and certainly have not interacted with. So I'm going to need an education about what it is we do, about what it is that department is in need of, the many nuances involved. So for instance, you know, talking about the importance of, as an example, somebody understanding professional boundaries. You know, this department interfaces with the chairman or woman of the company, you know, up close and personal. So we have to have a certain type of character. We have to have a certain type of professional, you know, whether it's maintenance, pilot, in the scheduling community, any of those things. Help your HR person understand what pilot hours mean and how to interpret them. What is an AMP, right? If you're hiring maintenance technicians. So it has to be a true working relationship, right? Where both are educating the other. And I'll tell you what, when that is done well, it is very obvious to me as somebody who comes in as a supplement or to augment that relationship, when it's sound and a strong partnership, I'll tell you what, things just click along perfectly.
What about times when that relationship may not be so complimentary, Jennifer? You mentioned that aviation personnel often interact with a variety of people at a company, including C-suite executives. I'd imagine some of those interactions might also carry occasional pitfalls. How can both sides help smooth over those stumbling points?
I love the way that you characterize that, Rob, because I think often there can be a stigma attached with HR professionals, right? And I want to dispel that, because really they are there to help. And the way that you said smooth over the edges, I mean, to me, this is a triangulated relationship. So if we have somebody who is not performing or perhaps has overstepped a professional boundary, which can happen really easily, you know, when you're working so closely with a chairman or woman or a high level executive, and they're friendly, and they know your children's names, and, you know, it can be easy for people to kind of lose that sense of boundary. So if something like that should happen, if your HR partner is really adept in understanding not only the culture, but the nature of the business that you do in your department, it's going to be much easier for them to step in and help, like you said, smooth over those edges. So again, in my opinion, it's all about establishing that relationship as early on as you can and continuing to foster it. I know flight departments who have their HR person come out and visit the hangar on some regularity. So they actually see it and hear it and all of the things, get to feel the culture, feel what that performance vibe is like. And those relationships are really sound. The one other thing I will say, because I know that department managers would be frustrated if I didn't, is that in large corporate enterprises, often that HR position can be rotated, right, every 2 to 3 years. So it's not lost on me that sometimes there's a re-education that's needed, right? But I think that's just the nature of the beast. And it's wise to every time if you have a cyclical situation like that in your department, in your relationship with a corporate enterprise, to continue to do that education. Don't ever let it lapse.
Mike, I'm sure you've run into these situations as well, especially when an AMT might be traveling on board the aircraft as a flight technician.
Absolutely. Well, I first want to start out is when we're looking for a technician, that's one of those elements that come up in regards to the, not only to the technical skill and the technical aptitude and the experience that he has in the industry. The one element that is probably one of our top priorities is the people that we're hiring, the people that we're looking for, the people that are coming through our doors, showing interest in this posting. You want to call it what you want. Call it soft skills, call it personality. You know, we simply call it missions and values. By asking questions and by taking a review, taking an inventory, and asking our missions and value statements to them and how they feel about them and how they respond to them. And of course, you know, there are screenings that we do as well that kind of that give us an idea of what the personality of this potential candidate and potential partner could look like. So with that being said, it prepares us and it prepares that technician as they onboard and as they begin their working career at our organization. It prepares them for having those conversations, having those interactions with that C-suite level. And it is critical. It is critical that those soft skills, those personalities, you know, that there is an element, always that element of the highest professionalism for that person coming in. Like I said, the days of just nuts and bolts kind of mechanic and just kind of, you know, kind of standing aside in the back shop when the airplane's departing or not going up into the cabin when they, you know, when the C-suite is in the cabin, those days are gone. And, you know, the time period of potentially flying on the airplane, you know, these airplanes are time machines and it seems like they go further and further as they continue to produce and build, which requires a different type of maintenance for us. And that might require a technician flying along with that C-suite executive. So having those personality, having those soft skills is probably one of the highest priorities when bringing somebody in, next to being able to have the mechanical aptitude to fix the airplane.
It really has to be a true partnership between HR and whomever the hiring professional supervisor is. And so this idea, when you think about HR, we're really many times the very first connection to people who will be interested in positions. And so very much do we need to have an understanding of the position, of the environment, what it's like to work there, because recruits will get a sense of the organization really based on that very first interaction and phone call. How do you treat them? You're really representing what the culture is from beginning to end. And it's so important that HR and the hiring manager work really closely to make sure they're in sync of what's the message that we're trying to send. How does it feel to work here? I find that my hiring managers really appreciate it. You know, that when I give them, I would call them behavior-based questions, things that they can ask the candidate to get a sense of who they are and what they value and integrate that into the hiring process, you know, rather than just sticking to the technical skill set. Because as we know, many times what makes or breaks somebody's success within an organization has to do with their interpersonal skills, their ability to fit as part of the team. And so I find that, again, the more that you have a relationship with the hiring manager and that the two of you are working together to try to find the best person for the organization.
Anne-Marie, what else should HR personnel know about the hiring process and really the flight operation environment?
Just a reminder to supervisors or everybody who's involved in the process is knowing very clearly what makes your organization different. You know, why do people work here? I love it when I bring in new recruits and I share stories about, here's what's unique about us. Here's why people enjoy working here. And also asking them in questions about what's important to you. What are your values? What are you looking for in your next job? What are you looking to avoid? So that I get an insight of what's important to them and then and how can I express how our culture could either support that or maybe it's not a good fit. And then I think as you're retaining your staff, it's having that continuing dialogue about what makes you want to come to work here every day and not taking for granted that it's just a job, because it really has to do with my experience. It's really what it feels like to be in that organization, how valued they feel to be, how much they're contributing, and having those ongoing discussions so that employees really recognize that you value them, not only when they're first newly hired, but also valuing their years of experience and, you know, and maybe how they mentor new people that are coming in, and always remembering the value that every individual is bringing to the organization.
Jennifer?
I think I would just underscore what Anne-Marie was mentioning about the partnership. And I particularly like what she mentioned about the retention aspect. You know, one of the things that we've talked about is how an employee's interests and motivations change over the course of their career. And we all know that there's many departments here in our industry where we still have 15, 20, 25-year tenured employees. So, you know, if someone begins their career with your organization and is young, and for instance, if we're talking about a pilot, you know, they want to take on all the hours, they want to do all the flying, and then perhaps they have children, and maybe that desire to be closer to home, you know, erupts. So my point is those motivations change over the course of our lives, over the course of our careers. So I often suggest, and I think this is what Anne-Marie is saying as well, but more formally, stay interviews. You know, so it's not necessarily about what would it take to keep you here? Because guess what? What motivated me 10 years ago might be very different than what motivates me now. And we see that demographically when we work with candidates. You know, not to generalize, but certainly even when we talk about compensation, you know, there might be more emphasis as people kind of get toward the tail end of their career. They're more interested in what is the 401k contribution. They might be a little less interested in a big base salary and more about the long-term holistic view of the compensation package, et cetera. All of those things your HR partner is very well schooled on. That is their expertise. So I would say, just like you have your roster, you have the person you go for financial support in the organization, the person you go to for contractual support in the organization. Don't forget this very important element of your roster, which is your HR partner, because I suspect they can help you in more ways than you even anticipate. I really appreciate that Anne-Marie acknowledged that, you know, the bulk of the business aviation community and membership is small to mid-sized departments. And so I don't want to talk in blanket terms with the assumption that everybody has an HR department, right? That might not be something that's even present in the organization where they're flying or operating. So I did want to just mention that there are fantastic HR consultants who can be hired. You know, in fact, API uses one. You know, we're not a large enough organization to have a dedicated full-time HR personnel on our team. So we have a fantastic partner who is aware of our culture, who attends our strategy meetings, who can be on speed dial if somebody has an issue and doesn't want to talk to management. So there are ways to meet that need, even if you don't have it present in your organization.
I think one of the things that these small organizations, again, who may not have an HR department, is to recognize and helping all of your employees essentially to be recruiters or ambassadors of your organization. Are they spreading the good word about business aviation? Are they connecting with the community, reaching down to and mentoring other individuals? So again, I think the best way that you sort of find people is, what is your own staff saying and doing to sort of help get the good word about not only what it is you do specifically within your organization, but business aviation as a whole, so that, again, we start to touch more people, that they can learn more about why business aviation is so important, why it's an essential American industry that we want to promote, and just making sure you're utilizing your own staff to spread the good word.
Very important points. Thanks, Anne-Marie. Mike, what about you?
The first thing with most corporate aviation departments that I've worked for, and I've worked for some very large aviation departments, the first thing that has to happen is the recruiter and the human resource director, they need to understand what we do and whatever that takes. If it's them coming out and shadowing us for a while, or them coming out interviewing, you know, the current team, the director of maintenance, the aviation director, let them get to know the organization. Let them get to know exactly what we do in regards to the schedule that we work, maybe in regards to the equipment that we're working on. All of those things are so important for the recruiter to understand before they even start the process. And that way, when they're going through during their pre-screenings, they kind of have an understanding of, one, how to speak the language of a corporate aviation mechanic, and two, they can get an understanding of how can I help screen this person and how can I dig in a little bit more to really give, you know, the flight operations team an understanding of this individual that I'm pre-screening prior to them going through and spending more time in the process with a potential candidate. Because it might not just be a fit, and it might not be a fit, and it might be identified early in the process. The other thing that I think is, in right now, it is so important. Because let's face it, there's a lack of aviation maintenance technicians in the industry right now to pick from. It's tough. And depending upon the region that you're in, where your operation's at, and what your operation can provide from a benefit package. And we're not just talking about salary. We're talking about vacation. We're talking about work-life balance. I think all of those things are so important for the recruiter and the HR director, whoever's helping and assisting in this process, have a really good understanding of the trends in the industry. Because if they don't understand the trends in the industry, it's going to be really difficult to recruit top talent. I think that one of the main things is, you know, even after the hiring process, to continue that relationship with your HR team, continuing a relationship with a recruiter. Because I will tell you, you know, there are so many jobs right now for aviation maintenance technicians. You could think that you have a team that is firing in all cylinders, that the work-life balance is great, that the salary is great. And all of a sudden you come in the next day and you're faced with the challenge of you're losing a technician. I think keeping HR, keeping the recruiters up to date and apprised, even when you don't need them, is critical right now in this market because of the simple fact that it is so difficult to hire, but it's more important when you have a team. It's so much easier to kind of maintain the team and to continue to keep the retention high in your organization, but you really need the HR partners to be involved. They really need to continue to stay apprised of the current trends, not only what's happening in your organization, but external around the aviation market right now.
Some great food for thought in this discussion. And for more information about hiring concerns in our industry and resources to help your flight operation recruit and retain top talent, check out nbaa.org/workforce. And that's the latest from NBAA. Remember, you can subscribe to all Flight Plan episodes at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts, including by asking your virtual assistant or connected device. Of course, you can also download Flight Plan directly from nbaa.org. I'm Rob Finfrock. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for a new episode of Flight Plan.
We're on right base, sending out a 3500.
All right, we got him inside. We're still on effect 170.